Welcome to the first episode of the Hove and Away podcast. My name is Bruce Talbot, and alongside me today to discuss all things Sussex cricket are my co-editor at Hove and Away, Paul Weaver, and Adrian Harms, who I call the voice of Sussex sport. That's what I used to call your predecessor, John Lees, Adrian, but I think you've taken over that role quite nicely. We're going to discuss what's going on at Hove at the moment. Plenty to talk about, of course. It's been a very, very busy summer and winter. And we're going to be producing these podcasts on a fairly regular basis. Hopefully to get we'll have some special guests from the club alongside in the next few weeks. We did ask Mark West to come on today. We're recording on Friday the 3rd of July, the day that Sussex announced Ed Warner as their new chair. But Mark's unfortunately got too many other commitments to do that. But we will hopefully get Mark and Paul Farbrace and one or two others along on future episodes, but in the meantime you'll have to make do with myself, Weaves, and Adrian. We're going to start, guys, I think with the news of the day. Ed Warner, new chair of Sussex cricket, the most high profile appointment this chair at this club has had for a very long time. Adrian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know him, I've not met him, but certainly looking at his CV and his credentials, they look first class. I think the fact that he lives in Sussex as well is great for the county, and it's what the clubs need. I mean, the club has lacked a chairman since John Philby stood down, and I think the chair for me is the stability at the top of the club. I don't think fans should get too carried away by the appointment of a chairman, in so much as he's not a Tony Bloom at the Albion who's going to come in and put lots of money into the club and suddenly all the financial woes of the club are solved overnight. That's not the case. What he is going to be, though, is someone at the top of the club who's going to keep a close eye on the books, which is what Sussex need, and a figurehead for the club. So, you know, we just have to keep fingers crossed. You know, his credentials look fantastic, and let's hope it's a really good appointment for the club.
Yeah, 10 years as in charge of UK Athletics, Weaves, during a period when London staged the Olympics and the Paralympics. I mean, he's got a lot. If you look at his CV, his credentials are pretty impeccable. I almost think, have Sussex been able to manage to recruit or bring in a candidate with his background?
Well, I think it's a very encouraging appointment. The chair, and I agree with Armsey, the chair might not be as hands-on as other chairs, but here he'll be the image of the club, the front of the club. I mean, the heavy lifting would probably continue to be done by the CEO and the players out there, but he will be the front man. He's a man of great experience. Presumably he knows his way around a finance sheet, so we won't have a repetition of what we had recently. I think it's an encouraging move. I don't know him, but I look forward to meeting him, and I think it's a very positive image for the club, and hopefully that will encourage people like Farby and Mark West to continue their association with the club.
Yeah, you were at Edgbaston on Wednesday night, Adrian, for that another really poor performance in the Blast, and we'll get on to that later. But when you spoke to Paul Farbrace afterwards, and I've actually written a piece on Hove and Away about this as well, the need for stability. Obviously, this is stability, the appointment of a new chair, but Sussex members and supporters, after what's gone on in the last 6 months to a year, need, I think, deserve to know what's going on in terms of Paul Farbrace. Obviously, there's a new coach, hopefully being appointed shortly. I know that the applications closed earlier this week. People need to, the players of course need stability as well, need to know what the future, how the future looks. And I think if Paul Farbrace and one or two others look today and think, well, actually that guy Ed Warner, he's got quite a profile, that's, you know, a really important first step.
I think there's a huge amount of uncertainty around the club, and certainly if he can bring some more certainty to what's going on, I think that's really important. I mean, I know that Paul Farbrace has been offered this position of director of cricket, but Paul always put that with a caveat. He always said it was subject to a chair, it was subject to the CEO, it was subject to knowing what funds there are going to be here next season, because he doesn't want to rebuild a team. So I think it's crucially important what happens over the next few weeks. That the chair is obviously a step in the right direction. I think the appointment of the CEO is going to be absolutely key as well. And people knowing how, you know, because nobody knows what's going to happen here next season. And in terms of if we don't meet the financial targets this year, there could be a points deduction next year as well. So I think it's really key for Paul Farbrace as well. He knows what pot of money he's got in terms of being able to make Sussex a competitive squad next year. So I think there's much to play for here over the next few weeks.
Do you think, you speak to Farby a lot, far more than I do, because you go to every day's play. Do you think he'll stay, even if it's in the part-time role?
I think provided the conditions are right, I think he will. But as I said, he said repeatedly, it is subject to who the chair is, who the CEO is he going to have a competitive squad? And I think at this stage, we don't know. I mean, I think we all would like to Paul Farbrace to stay. There's no question about that. He's done a great job here. But there is just that little doubt in my mind that the club needs to get these appointments right. I'm sure we'll talk about the departure of Henry Crocombe. We know there are others going as well. We don't know who is staying. So there's much to be sorted out. And, you know, we'll talk about the performance at Edgbaston in a minute. It was a poor performance, and Paul recognised that. But he wasn't going to throw the players under the bus, because I think he realised, and he said, there's players up in that dressing room now who haven't got contracts for next season. They don't know how they're going to pay their bills from next October. And so I think that's a real problem for the club at the moment. It's probably a problem keeping players. I'm sure they're motivated, but it must be on their minds. And so it's absolutely key they get these appointments in place. The chair is the first step, but getting the new CEO in place as well and letting Paul Farbrace know exactly what pot he's got and what he's going to have for next season.
Weaves, I don't think it's any coincidence that during the last month, when there's been all this conjecture and speculation about players' futures, that the performances have been pretty poor. 2 wins out of 8 between the Championship and the Blast. There's definitely a correlation there, isn't there?
Well, I think there is. And you've got to look to the start of the season. I think the players showed incredible character in view of what had happened and what was unfolding throughout the summer. But now it's actually happening. Contracts are ending. Players are being offered jobs at new clubs. I just hope everything is reconciled in the next week or two so we know where we are and we can start planning. I'm more hopeful than confident that Farby will stay. He suggested he'd like to carry on maybe working 3 days a week, I think, in the summer, 2 days a week in the winter. And I'm sure that continuity would help and it would help persuade a few players to stay here.
In terms of the new coach, they're going to have quite a lot on their plate. I'm assuming that there's going to be one coach. At the moment, Paul Farbrace works with 3 coaches, as we know, James Kirtley, Grant Flower and Ashley Wright. One coach working under director of cricket who might only be part-time next year, doing 3 days a week in the summer. That's a hell of a workload.
For Paul or for the head coach?
For the head coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've spoken a lot about the players and all of this. We don't know what's going on with the 3 coaches. You said Grant Flower, James Kirtley and Ashley Wright. Are they going to be at the club next year? Will these cuts extend down to the coaching staff? You know, will they be offered contracts but maybe at reduced salaries? So that's... These are big questions, and you'd have thought any coach coming into the club would want those questions answered as well, and I'm sure Paul Farbrace would want those answered as well. If, you know, not just what players am I going to have on the pitch, but, you know, what backup am I going to have? So, far-reaching questions, Bruce.
But still, head coach of one of the 18 first-class counties, Paul, that's still a pretty good gig, isn't it?
It is a good gig, and I've got the feeling that they've been looking outside. Initially, I thought they might look to promote one of the coaches, one of the 3 coaches I have working under Farby. I know Farby rates Ashley Wright very highly, but I've got the feeling that they're looking outside. They want a totally fresh start. I might be wrong there, but it'll be a very important appointment for the immediate future of the club.
Turning to the players, more news this week. Obviously, Henry Crocombe going to Surrey on a 3-year contract. He was offered a 3-year contract to stay at Sussex, but obviously, financially, Surrey can blow any deal or any contract offered by another county out of the water with their resources. If we were sitting here a year ago and I said to you, Adrian, Henry Crocombe is going to join Surrey on a 3-year contract, you'd probably be surprised. A year on, he has really transformed himself, hasn't he, as a cricketer?
I would be surprised, because when you think back to last May, Henry hadn't even played in the Championship because he had a shoulder problem, which was only rectified. There was talk of him having surgery, maybe being out for the season. And he came back in the game down at Southampton that Sussex won and hasn't looked back since. And what I would say with Henry, he's undoubtedly the quickest bowler that we've got on the books here. And it was strange at the Oval this year, you were there, Bruce, and there were people coming in talking to us saying, we didn't quite realise Henry Crokham was this quick, and we didn't realise he was quite that good. So, you know, certainly everyone was aware at that stage that was going on. But I'm with you completely, Bruce. A year ago, I wouldn't have thought so. His development has been extraordinary. I think he's bulked up as well. He just looks a bigger guy as well. That being said, you've got to feel desperately sad for James Kirtley in particular, who has worked endlessly with Henry through the age groups here at Hove, to see him disappear, and indeed the other coaching staff as well. And he's a very popular member of the squad, and I've always found him very humble as well, Henry. So I think it's a massive loss. And I think as well, if you're one of the players in the squad, if you see Henry going, I wonder if that what that does for you as well. He's decided to move on, and others, not just this year, but going into next year as well. That's going to put a little doubt in players' minds.
It sounds from the comments that he made, Paul, that it was a very tough decision for him to make to leave Sussex. He's been here since the age of 12. And I think the frustrating thing that Adrian just mentioned, James Kirtley, the bowling coach, has worked with him. He's really developed, Paul Farbrace, obviously, he's really developed in the last year. He goes to Surrey, all the development, all the work in making Henry Crokham into the bowler who was called into the England Test squad a couple of weeks ago, remember, has been done by Sussex. And financially, they won't get any compensation or anything.
Well, it's so frustrating. And I was talking to James Kirtley. I think he's got three or four children. And he was saying that... It's strange, like having children, they grow up often quicker than you think. And he said that applied to Henry as well, that suddenly he looked upon him and as a better bowler, not only probably quicker, but able to sustain that pace for longer than he could before. So I know that James is very heavily invested in Henry Crokham, and it must be heartbreaking for him to see him leave.
How does he compare in terms of quick bowlers that you've seen here over the years? Maybe not in the Garth LaRue or Imran Khan class. I'm giving you your age away here, Weaves, a little bit. Or even John Snow. But he's quite sharp, isn't he?
He's probably not as quick as Imran Khan. And Snowy wasn't very quick. He's quick, but he had that wonderful skinny bounce, didn't he? I think he's as quick as anything I've seen here in the last 20 years.
Future England player, do you think, Adrian, Henry?
I think so. I don't think he's quite the finished product. I mean, if you look at Henry's consistency, I mean, he is quick, but he can be a little inaccurate at times. So I think that's something they'll be working very hard on him up at Surrey. But unquestionably, he's got the talent. I think the fact, as you said, Bruce, he was called up to that England squad. Clearly, they recognise that he's got great talent. I mean, he's still very committed to Sussex. Up at Edgbaston the other night, he's running around the boundary, he's hurling himself around, and you know, you hope that commitment is going to last through to the end of the season. But yeah, I would be a bit surprised if he doesn't maybe get a call up for one of these Test matches coming up in the autumn against Pakistan, just to have a look at him and see what he's like round about that environment.
The other player news in the last few days, Tom Clark signing a new contract. The interesting thing, it's great news obviously for Sussex that one of their senior players has committed themselves. The interesting thing for me was he signed for 1 year, a 1 year extension. It looks from what he's saying that he's sort of hedging his bets a little bit. He's going to see how things turn out. And if in a year, 15 months time, things are still, you know, the club still is in a bit of a mess, and you know, players have left and haven't been replaced, he might well move on. Because I'm just wondering whether 1 year contracts at the moment are all that Sussex can offer.
Yes, I'm not sure whether or whether perhaps Tom decided he just wanted a 1 year contract. And I've got to say, you know, it's great to see Tom's loyalty. I mean, he's injured at the minute. He's going to be out for quite a long time. I wonder if that's on his mind as well. He needs to get back from this knee injury. But I think you're absolutely right, Bruce. I think if I was in Tom Clark's position, I would only go for a year as well. Because if we get to the 1st of June next year, and you're looking around the squad, and Sussex still have got these financial issues, other players are starting to leave, Tom might think, well, hang on a minute, this is all going in the wrong direction, and I'll take this option now, and I'll move on. So I don't blame him at all for going for a year, Bruce.
And the thing about him, Tom Clark, to be fair, he's turned himself into a bit of an all-rounder, Weaves, in the last year. He bowls quite nicely now in the Championship as well. He's bowled in one-day cricket, and he's also become a bit of a gun at the top of the order before he got injured in T20. That innings he played at Canterbury back in May at the start of the competition, I mean, what, 79 off, I don't know, 30 balls or something like that. He's sort of, in a year, he's really transformed himself into a really handy player.
Well, he has. He's the best catcher at the club, I think we can say that. He's got runs coming in at number three at both four-day level and one-day level. And as a bowler, he's really come on. He can bowl a heavy ball, can't he? He's a good athlete. And I think he has the potential to be a genuine all-rounder. Unfortunately, looking ahead, he could be the next one to leave. And looking years ahead, I don't want to be too gloomy. But if he fulfills the potential that he really has, they'll have a hell of a job keeping hold of him too.
Actually, Bruce, I was going to say there were at least a couple of counties we know about who were very keen on Tom Clark. So he could have gone had he wanted to, but he's decided to stay.
Yeah, fair play to him. We're hearing that Finn Hudson-Prentice, of the other players who are out of contract, is going to leave. It looks like he's heading to Hampshire, which would be a blow because, again, another good all-round cricketer. I know he's injured at the moment, but he's been a good servant.
He's been an excellent servant, I think, particularly since he came back from Derbyshire. And this season as well, the fact he's been opening the bowling in the county championship and been a terrific foil as well for Ollie Robinson, it's another loss, isn't it? I guess you could say in terms of replacement, Tom Price is a very similar type of cricketer. You know, he bowls at a slightly less pace than Finn. He can bat well in that number seven position. So Sussex, I guess, have got a replacement in place for Finn. But it's another big loss. But again, from Finn's point of view, you know, if it's a three-year deal going to Hampshire at the stage of the career that he's been in, you just can't blame these guys for moving on.
No, he won't have to move house or anything like that. I mean, he'll know people in the Hampshire dressing room. County cricket's quite a closed sort of environment anyway. The players all know each other. The ones that are also out of contract, Harrison Ward, John Simpson, Danny Lamb, Charlie Tear. I guess if Sussex wanted to keep one of those, it would probably be John Simpson, but Adrian is probably likely to be one of the ones who goes.
Well, I guess the fact that John was 38, I believe, yesterday, you know, you'd have to say that he's in the twilight of his career, but I think he's far from finished as a county cricketer. I mean, he's, 11 county championship hundreds here. That won't have gone unnoticed around the county. Would they be able to offer John the terms he's on now? I would very much doubt it. So you would think there's a fair chance that John will move on, but it will be that, you know, if Charlie Tear is preferred as keeper, they are huge shoes to fill. Haven't seen a lot of Charlie. He made a very good half century up at the Oval earlier on this season on a tricky pitch. Haven't seen much about his keeping either. But, you know, he's a young cricketer with a lot of promise. But in John Simpson, you've got someone who's been absolutely proven here.
You quite like Charlie Tearweaves. You've seen him a few times, haven't you?
I've seen him three or four times. I think technically he looks a very adept wicketkeeper. He can't hit the ball like John Simpson, but he appears to make up for that lack of power. He's only a little guy, but he makes up for that lack of power with very good timing. And I know that a number of people at the club are impressed by the way he's come on. So I think he could do very well if he comes in, but no one wants to lose John Simpson.
And if John Simpson does go, I mean, they've got to keep Charlie Tear, really. Haven't really got any other... Well, Ollie Carter is there as well. He's another one who's out of contract. Whether he stays or not remains to be seen. Danny Lamb. Harrison Ward has done well in the Blast when he got back into the team this year, Adrian. We'll talk about the Blast in a bit more if we have to. But he's someone who would need to be replaced.
Well, I mean, Sussex are going to need some players, aren't they? I mean, whatever happens next season, they're going to have to compete in three competitions. And I actually think Harrison Ward there haven't been many successes in the T20, but he's certainly been one of them. I think he's done well at the top of the order. And you would hope that he might be offered another contract. But the way he's played in the Blast this season, it could well be he's going to be attracted for other counties as well.
Well, yeah, he's played in the 100. I mean, he's got a bit of a reputation, and like you say, he's had a good blast. But overall, in terms of the squad, you're right. I'm not sure how many professional players Sussex have got. I think it's 26. That, to me, sounds like too many. If I was coming in and starting a county cricket club today, and looking at the competitions and the number of games that have to be played, I know there is a second team cricket, but most counties these days tend to regard certainly the championship second team competition as a development environment for academy players. But you wouldn't probably be running with a professional squad of 26. I think, I don't know, 20, 18? What do you think, Wes?
Well, 26 does sound a large number. I would have thought 20, maybe 20, 19, 20. In this day and age, that would be max for me.
Needs must, Adrian. If they're going to have to cut the wage bill, they're going to have to cut the number of players, aren't they?
They are, and I guess a lot of them, therefore, would need to be, you know, I don't like the expression, but multi-format cricketers, really. They're going to have to play red ball and the two white ball competitions as well. I know that the 50-over, perhaps then there's an opportunity to bring in loan players or academy players, however that's going to work. But, you know, these guys are going to have to play a lot of cricket.
Right, we'll talk about the Blast because we're here tonight at Hove. Amazingly, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't be amazed that the game against Essex is sold out. It's a lovely evening. And I said earlier to someone, I don't think that performances in previous games really matter that much to the crowd who turn up here on a Friday night for a T20. You know, if the weather's nice, they just want entertainment. And, you know, with a ground like Hove, with small boundaries, you know, they're going to see the ball disappear out of the park a few times. But in terms of the general competition, Adrian, what were your thoughts if you go back to 5 or 6 weeks ago? How did you think before the tournament started that Sussex might do?
Well, I think we all thought the benchmark for T20 is making the quarterfinals, and I think, you know, we all thought they could do that. Now, I guess the first thing that went wrong in that plan was the fact that Ollie Robinson did so well in the county championship that suddenly he gets called up by England and he's unavailable for games in the Blast. That makes the bowling attack a lot different, doesn't it? You've got Ollie at one end, Tamal at the other. So I think that puts a lot of onus on Tamal, who, by his own admission, hasn't had a great tournament with the ball. And since then, the whole thing, you know, they won at Essex. I mean, they won really, really well at Chelmsford. But since then, they've absolutely fallen off a cliff. And it seems to me that every time, Daniel Hughes is key for me in T20. Every time Hughes has got out, there's been a problem and the middle order has just fallen away. In fact, up until the last game, Sussex had the best power play stats of any side in the competition. So what on earth is going wrong with the middle order? That's been the real issue. I also think as well, if you look back 4 or 5 years, Bruce, coming in at number six, you've got someone like a David Visa who can come in and hammer the ball out of the ground. And because of the constraints, because we've only got the one overseas, I think Sussex have been really hamstrung.
Yeah, I was looking at some stats actually. John Simpson, when he first played in the Blast 3 years ago for Sussex, when he came here, Weaves, was batting at number six. In some of the games this year, he's been coming in at number four. That tells you that there is just not the batting depth. And like Adrian mentions, the absence in this competition of a second overseas player, you know, a gun all-rounder or a sort of five or six bat who can bowl a few overs of spin or something, is absolutely massive, isn't it?
Well, it is. The batting has been a massive disappointment, not only in the Vitality Blast, but also the Championship. And they've got away with it, really, in the Championship, apart from until the last game when they played Hampshire and their batting let them down. But they seem to have got away with poor middle-order batting because one player, one or maybe two players, will come off. But apart from Dan Hughes, they've had no consistency at all, either in the Blast or the Championship, and that must be a big worry. I mentioned it to Farby, in fact. I said, are you worried about the batting? And he said no. And I said, well, we're not really batting well as a unit. And he said, well, we're not batting very well in partnerships, which to me means the same thing. They don't seem to get it together as a team, as a middle order team, and Jack Leaning has obviously underperformed, both a multi-format batsman, all-rounder in fact, and he's underperformed. I think they're looking to him and John Simpson and James Coles to really shore up that middle order, and it hasn't happened.
And indicative perhaps of a side who are not playing with any sort of confidence in this competition, Adrian, is 5 games out of 8, they've not even batted 20 overs.
Yeah, and actually probably the worst of the lot came at Edgbaston on Wednesday night when they were really poor, losing the last 5 wickets for just 7 runs, and it's not to in any way to you, but you look at that lower order, you know, Danny Briggs is a fine T20 bowler, but you've got Danny Briggs coming in at 8 You know, that tells everything we need to know about the strength of the batting, really. You're really looking at the top seven. And I think in that game at Edgbaston, they were badly beaten. The fielding was poor. And here at Hove last Friday, it was a similar story, really, against Surrey. And I think you're right, Bruce. I think people do like to come to this lovely cricket ground, have a night out. It's a Friday, and enjoy themselves. And I looked at people leaving here last Friday, and yeah, they were disappointed that Sussex had lost, but it's not the end of the world. But that only carries on so far, doesn't it? I don't think you can keep being walloped. And I think the staff who are left here at the club have done a wonderful job, really, in selling out these games. I know we've been helped by the weather, so I think they all need a pat on the back for what they've done. And I think, in many ways, the players need to respond to that tonight. And let's have a really good end to the blast, even though we're not going to qualify.
I suppose the thing about the performances and the results this year, say Sussex finished 12 games and they've won two or three and they're bottom of the table, it's not so much now or in the next few weeks that people will think about it, but in the winter when people are asked to renew blast passes and tickets and stuff go on sale, they think, well, actually, I'm not sure I can afford to go and watch that next year on a, you know, buy a blast pass if you know, if the team are as bad as they were this year.
Well, particularly as well, Bruce, if, you know, a lot's going to depend on the nature of the squad, isn't it? And if people see more and more players leaving and we don't know what's going to happen next season, I think you're absolutely right that people just might hold back and see, because nights like tonight, people will enjoy themselves. But as you say, you get to the winter months, people buying tickets, I think people might be a little reticent.
Generally, though, Paul, things like, you know, you've been involved or been around Sussex cricket for longer than Adrian and I. Do you think Ed Warner's appointment and things like that, do you think that resonates with people around here?
Well, it's what the chairman makes of it, I think. But I do feel quite positively about the appointment because he's high profile. A lot of people will have heard of him. I think he will probably persuade a lot of other key individuals to stay. And I'm sure he's quite good. From what I gather, he's quite good on the PR side as well. Fronting up to members, which is part of the job, which is part of the job that John Philby did well before he resigned in February, I think. So it is a key job. I'd be very interested to see how he confronts it.
Last question, Adrian. T20 will be out of the way in a few weeks, and then it'll be the One Day Cup when we're going to see probably some academy players, some players who haven't had much opportunity. I'm thinking of someone like George Thomas, who hasn't really played in the Blast on Wednesday night, but hasn't really featured much. So in terms of guys not necessarily out of contract even, who've got a bit more of a future here, you know, there's an opportunity there for, I'm thinking of Charlie Tear, for instance, to really stake their claim in that competition.
There is. I think there's opportunities even for players who are out of contract, because some of these guys will be looking for contracts elsewhere. So it's a real opportunity for them to showcase their talents. Paul Farbrace has made it very clear that they're going to juggle the side around, because if we're looking ahead to the championship that follows, Sussex cannot afford any injuries in this bowling group. You know, we're not sure about Ollie Robinson's fitness. He's missing out tonight. He missed out in the test match at the Oval. We know we've got Jadhav and Nubkek coming back, but can Jadhav pay 6 weeks on a spin in September? And if we pick up any injuries during the 50 over to the likes of Sean Hunt or Dom Goodman, Sussex are going to be very short in the bowling department. So it'd be great to see the club do well in the 50 over, but I think we're going to see a lot of juggling of the bowling resources in particular.
Yeah, because now the priority really is the championship, isn't it? We'd be top without the 12-point deduction going into the last six games. Do you think Sussex can win the championship?
I think it's a bit of a stretch. They'll have to fall back on their bowling. I think they need to see more from Dom Goodman and Sean Hunt too. It's very difficult to see them in top form because they've had so little cricket, they've had injuries. I think if Sussex can finish in the top three, they will have done very well.
And actually, can I just come back to Sean Hunt? He was the pick of the bowlers, actually, for me. And I think Sean Hunt is coming on to be a very good bowler if he can stay injury-free. I think Sean has got a big future here at the club. As for the championship, Bruce, I'm probably slightly less optimistic. I think Sussex have got a really tough run in. They've got Somerset, Nottinghamshire and Surrey to come here. They've got to go to Chelmsford, which is tough as well, Edgbaston and finishing off at Hampshire. And with those last round of games, with Leicestershire winning, with Hampshire winning as well, everyone is really squeezed up. And you know, Sussex have done brilliantly. Don't get me wrong, 4 out of 8 is a fantastic start. But to keep that motivation going now during those six matches, if we pick up any injuries, it could be quite a tough 6 weeks. And I think it's really good that we've got those four wins in the bank already.
I was going to say, I don't want to be negative or anything like that, but you can, with the league so concertinaed this year, you can see a scenario where if they lost two games and only picked up, I don't know, 8 points, all of a sudden you're thinking, well, we're third bottom and okay at the moment. There's a gap to the bottom two, but it's not that big a gap. And Hampshire and Leicestershire, who beat Yorkshire in the last round, have shown that they are capable of winning games.
Absolutely, and all these sides we mentioned, Somerset, Surrey, Notts, have all got to come here. They've got the ability to bring in overseas players. They've been moving in and out. They've got that ability to do that. You know, what Sussex have got is what they've got, and that could be quite difficult in a run of... It's going to be very testing, isn't it? Fitness-wise, everything-wise. And I think Sussex are at a disadvantage there. We'd all love to see him, but nothing better. And, you know, talking to guys around the county championship, people are saying, if it's not our county that wins it, we want Sussex to win it. Because, you know, there's a lot of love for this club. But realistically, I think it's going to be very difficult over those 6 weeks.
Well, it's sort of a positive note to end on, Adrian, with other people supporting Sussex. Thanks very much to Adrian Harms from BBC Sussex. Remember, ball-by-ball commentary of every Sussex game online on the BBC Sport website and app. Thanks to Paul, co-editor with me of Hove and Away. If you don't know about Hove and Away, go to our website, hoveandaway.canterpress.media, or just put Hove and Away into a search bar. You'll find us and you'll find insightful, unrivaled, and even Adrian's a subscriber, very good content about Sussex cricket. We'll be back with another podcast soon. Please like and subscribe to the Hove and Away podcast, and we'll see you soon.